welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good day to you, Brevard County. We want to thank you for tuning into the Refresh radio program right here on WMIE 91.5 FM, today's Modern Worship. My name's Bob Arthurs, and I pastor Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida, 165 North Grove Street, two blocks north of 520, two blocks east of Tropical Trail, two blocks west of Courtney Parkway. So if you know where the Home Depot is, turn left there on Tangerine, and we're two blocks down on the right-hand side. If you know where Mila Elementary is, we're two blocks south of the entrance to Mila, right there on Grove Street, or we're two blocks south of the exit of Mila on Parnell Avenue. That gets you to our parking lot. But today is a special day. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear son. Happy birthday to you. And so aren't you thankful that you don't have to hear me sing all that often, because that was not a really good rendition according to my ears. But anyway, today is my son's birthday, and we are blessed with all that God has done in his life, and he's a blessing to other people's lives. He's a great dad, a great husband, and we pray God blesses him today. So we also want to say thank you to the folks at Wyrick Air, 321-632-9538, 321-632-9538. For over 40 years, they have been providing professional sales, service, and repairs for electrical situations, heating situations, and air conditioning situations. They work in residential settings, which would apply to almost all of us. But if you own a business, they also deal with commercial settings and provide emergency service when necessary. So if you don't want someone taking advantage of your vulnerability with air conditioning, call the folks at Wyrick Air, because they strive to provide the best service possible at an affordable price. So before you find yourself in need of their services, write this number down, 321-632-9538. If you're currently in need of their services, they travel all throughout Brevard County, from the south to the north, from the coast to the western boundary, 321-632-9538 when you need them. They are there. They've been doing this for a long, long time, and they are really, really, really good at what they do. And you will be blessed by their expertise. So today we are going back to Isaiah 59, and we are talking about, on Friday we began, God, what are you going to do about all this? What are you going to do about all this injustice? And there's no justice, there's no man, there's not a human solution to this, and there's not even anybody praying about the situation. God, what are you going to do about it? And so we talked on Friday that his own arm brought salvation for him. His own righteousness sustained him. He put on righteousness as a breastplate and a helmet of salvation on his head. He put on the garments of vengeance for clothing and was with, try this one more time, was clad with zeal as a cloak. So he prepared himself, when he gets ready to act, things are getting ready to change. Things are getting ready to change. So what is God going to do? Verse number 18, according to their deeds, accordingly he will repay fury to his adversaries, recompense to his enemies, the coastlands he will fully repay. So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west and his glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him. So according to their deeds, according to their works, and so remember what their works were that were mentioned earlier. Verse number 6, their works are works of iniquity. The act of violence is in their hand. Their feet run to evil. They make haste to shed innocent blood. Their thoughts are thoughts of iniquity. Wasting and destruction are in their paths. The way of peace they have not known, and there is no injustice in their ways. They have made crooked, or made themselves crooked paths. So their works are not going to measure up to the standard of justice. The standard of justice is not whatever is popular. The standard of justice is not whichever law the attorney general decides to enforce or decides not to enforce. The standard of justice is not determined by an election. The standard of justice is not determined by the United Nations. I will tell you, even the standard of justice is not determined by the Supreme Court of the United States of America. The standard of justice, the standard of righteousness, is Jesus. Is Jesus. And so you can never work your way to salvation. It is the gift of God. But because you are saved, you do good works. You were created for good works. But here in this passage, God is coming to reestablish what he wanted all along, and that was a society that treated God justly, that loved justice, and lived justly. So look at what it says. He's going to repay. There is a saying that God will owe no man nothing. That he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. But I want you to know, God is just in his salvation. He is just in his forgiveness. But for those who do not repent, God is also a very effective agent of justice for correction. People don't like to talk about that. So I was hearing things about people who were looking for equal outcomes. And I got to thinking about that because there were professors and teachers who were teaching equal outcomes. And I wondered whether they really believed in equal outcomes or not, because it wouldn't be hard to find out, because you could look at their grading records. You could look at the grades that they gave their students. Because when I went to school and dirt was new, teachers gave out grades according to the work that you produced, the effort that you put in, the tests that you passed. So I never got the grade I wanted. I always got the grade that the teacher said I deserved. There were many times I thought I put the right answer, and the teacher said, no, that's the wrong answer. There were times that I had the right answer and talked myself into the wrong answer, only to find out I had the right answer all along. That was frustrating. And I was never able to outguess myself in that. But you could say, well, you believe in equal outcomes, and so it doesn't matter whether I put in the effort to study the material, whether I pass the test, whether I even show up for class or not. What you're telling me is that all of the class is going to get an A because you believe in equal outcomes. God does not grade me according to you. You are not the standard. So I do not compare myself to you, because if I compare myself with you, I'm either going to feel worse about myself or I'm going to feel better about myself. So I need to say, you know what, God, I need to compare myself with you. So I want to work because Jesus lives in my heart. I'm not working to earn Jesus living in my heart. And so God says in verse number 18, according to their deeds, accordingly he will repay fury to his adversaries. Now, think about this. God opposes the proud. God opposes the proud. That means that pride sets us into an adversarial relationship, which God opposes and he will deal with furiously. A lot of times, we just kind of excuse pride and arrogance. Oh, well, it's just the society we live in. I want you to know, God doesn't do that. So if you find yourself to be a proud person, don't just wink and nod and say, oh, well, we're really not enemies. We're not in an adversarial relationship. I want you to see that it's serious with God. And he doesn't oppose you because he's mean. He opposes you so that you don't end up destroying yourself. Okay? He stands in the path that you're going and says, you don't want to go this way. Okay? There have been a lot of examples of people who found themselves going to places that they didn't intend to go and later found out they missed a warning sign that said, don't go this way. Don't go this way. So it says, accordingly, he will repay fury to his adversaries, recompense to his enemies. The coastlands he will fully repay. So I'm just going to tell you, it doesn't matter whether it's by land. It doesn't matter whether it's by sea. It doesn't matter if it's by air. It doesn't matter if it's subterranean. If you find yourself in opposition to God, God is going to deal with the situation thoroughly. Thoroughly. And, you know, it's going to be justice. Okay? Not everything about justice is that God's going to treat you, you know, to peaches and cream and strawberries all the time. Justice says if you have rejected Jesus as your Lord and Savior, there is justice for that sort of lifestyle. If you've accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, there is a just reward for that lifestyle. But it is just both ways. So, what is the purpose of God acting when no one else was available to act? It says, so shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west and his glory from the rising of the sun. Everything that God does and everything that God doesn't do is designed to cause people to become reaware that he is a holy God and that he is very real and very alive and still very cognizant of everything that is going on in society. God deserves to be worshiped. We started this off by talking about it's justice in our relationship with God that reflects itself in the type of justice we live in as a society. So when you put America in that paradigm right now, it should be a very alarming analysis. It doesn't matter what people tell pollsters about their personal religious affiliation. The truth of the matter is, if we can look around and see that we're living in an unjust society, and God says, I want to bring you back to where you honor me. And when you honor me, you're going to begin to treat people in a much different manner. It says, so shall they fear or revere the name of the Lord from the west and his glory from the rising of the sun, that would be to the east. So how serious do you plan to take God this week? Okay, let's change the time frame. How serious do you intend to take God today? Now, because of the time frame, I can't close the window any tighter because some of you are working or driving on your way to work, but I will tell you this. You can revere God wherever you're at, whatever time you're doing, and say, God, I may have not taken you as seriously as I should have before, but God, I want to change that. I want the future to look much different than the past has looked. So shall they fear the name of the Lord. Here's a verse that not many people talk about. But do you know that in the New Testament it talks about that we are supposed to work out our salvation with fear and trembling? I believe that probably one of the reasons that we are so casual about our salvation is because we haven't given consideration to the absolute reverence and awesomeness and omnipotence of God. Jonathan Edwards preached a sermon. It was called Sinners in the Hand of an Angry God. And he described to the people of pre-Revolutionary War America that they were like being held by a spider web over the flames of hell. Now, I tell you what I'm not a fan of. Now, that was the initial Great Awakening in America. Whitfield, Jonathan Edwards, and John Wesley in England. They were very instrumental in bringing about a spiritual revival to America. And if it makes you have a little bit of hope and confidence, I can tell you that many of the things that we face in our society now, they faced then as well. It was a cesspool of problems. And it took an awareness that says, look, we need to come back to Jesus because we are positioned very precariously. You and I, we don't have to live in terror of God. We need to revere his glory. Because when it talks about light, I have this understanding that it is not just the intensity of the lumens that is so awe-inspiring, but there's also power behind it. Something that could take place a long way away can have a devastating impact, a landscape-altering impact. Well, I want you to know, I don't want some man-made thing changing the landscape. I want the holiness of God changing the landscape. And I believe that God can do it here in Brevard County. I believe that he can do that here in America. Verse 19 continues and says, when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him. So a lot of times we want to picture this as the enemy on the outside and just bull rushing or blitzing a society, coming in like a flood. But I want to remind you what this passage is talking about. This passage is not talking about an external enemy. This passage is dealing with an internal enemy. This, the problem or the enemy that they were facing was the enemy. It was the enemy in them. And so it doesn't matter where the enemy of justice comes from. God says, my solution is I'm going to put on my armor. I'm going to clothe myself with zeal. I'm going to deal with vengeance, and the Spirit of the Lord is going to rise up. I will tell you this, revival never comes from lowering the standard of morality. It never comes from lowering the threshold. Revival always comes when the standard is restored and people become aware that they're not measuring up. So let me see if I can give you this illustration. How upset would you be if you went to the gas pump and you found out that the pump was configured in such a way that you weren't getting a gallon of gas for the exorbitant price that you're paying at the gas pump right now? What if you found out that you were only getting a half a gallon of gas, but yet the meter said that you were getting a full gallon? How would you feel about that? Well, you would be pretty upset. If you asked for a pound of hamburger meat and they only gave you half a pound of hamburger meat, you would be upset. You would say, this isn't right. The standard means nothing if they could just throw something on there, put a label on it, and say, you're good. Everything's good here. The Spirit of the Lord comes to raise a standard. Now, the thing you've got to understand about the Spirit of God is He always points people to Jesus, because Jesus is the standard. The Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against the devil. He will lift up the standard against any agent of unrighteousness. He will lift up the standard against any messenger or practitioner of injustice. God is going to deal with injustice, and He's going to restore the standard by the Spirit of God. Now, I believe it is the NIV and that translates it along this line. I don't have that particular version in front of me right now, but that version says, when the enemy comes in, comma, like a pent-up flood, the Spirit of the Lord will break forth against him. And I like that it, when the enemy comes in, even if he comes in like a flood, God comes in like an even greater flood. If you've got a relentless amount of injustice that has been perpetrated against you, I want to remind you today that God is bigger than your problem. God is more powerful than your problem. And if we can get into the presence of the Lord and say, God, I need you, He will come, not like the cavalry. He's going to come in like the conquering king that He is. The standard is Jesus. Verse number 20 says, the Redeemer will come to Zion, and those who turn from transgression in Jacob, says the Lord. God is the Redeemer. God is the Redeemer. And He will come. He wants to come. It's His desire to come. And to those who turn, will come to Zion, and to those who turn from transgression in Jacob, says the Lord. So when God says He's coming, He's coming. When Jesus told the disciples, hey, I'm sending you forth two by two, He sent them to the places that He was going to come to. And so He sent them forth to prepare the way. And then they came back and they said, man, It's like nothing we've ever seen before. Demons are subject to us in your name. And Jesus said, rejoice that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. When he said that he was going to come and be born, he came and was born. When he says that he will come to your rescue, he will. And when the Bible says Jesus is coming again, I want to let you know something. He's coming again. We talked in this chapter about trusting in empty words and lies. The devil convinced Eve that God wasn't being forthright when he said, in the day that you eat of this tree, you will die. He's holding out on you. Well, a lot of people have fallen for the lie that God isn't serious about dealing with society, or that he's not coming again, and he's not going to come as a king. But I want you to know, he is. He is the Redeemer. Now, the Redeemer for you and I means that even when we've blown it, we don't have to live in condemnation. We can say to the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, thank you for letting me know that I have sinned and that I have a Savior, a Redeemer in Jesus Christ, and I want to have my sins forgiven. And the Holy Spirit and Jesus, they will minister to you. Your sins will be forgiven. You will be redeemed. The price will be paid. It was paid for by Christ on the cross. And the truth of the matter is, God wants all to be saved. So I pray that you will take advantage of that. We got one more lesson here in Isaiah 59 that we will pick up tomorrow. But I want to just take one more opportunity to wish my son a happy birthday and pray that he has a great day and a day of blessing and walking in the favor of God. And I pray that you do the same. If you are dealing with challenges right now, I want to remind you of verse number 19. So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west and his glory from the rising of the sun. Today, if the enemy comes in like a flood, may the Spirit of the Lord lift up a standard against that enemy on your behalf in Jesus' name. God bless you. You have a great Monday. We'll see you tomorrow right here on the Refresh radio program.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
You are God in heaven, and here am I on earth. So I'll let my words be few. Jesus, I am so in love with you. And I'll stand in awe of you. Yes, I'll